In a polarized political age, we want to seek the good of our neighbors, engage in politics in a distinctly Christian way, and work together to be salt and light in our local communities, in our states, and in our nation. We invite you to join us at the Southern Baptist Convention annual meeting in Indianapolis for a lunch conversation with Vice President Mike Pence and ERLC President Brent Leatherwood on Tuesday, June 11th. They'll discuss Vice President Pence's journey into politics, how pastors can partner with elected officials, and how we all can engage with hope in the public square. Space is limited, so register online today at erlc.com/events to reserve your seat for Serving in the Public Square, a conversation with Vice President Mike Pence and Brent Leatherwood. Welcome to the ERLC podcast, where our goal is to help you think biblically about today's cultural issues. I'm Lindsay Nicolay, and today we're continuing our conversation about the importance of our involvement in local and state politics. Are you weary from the current state of American politics? Does the noisy rhetoric by some political candidates and the lack of meaningful action leave you tempted to retreat from political engagement altogether? No, you're not alone. Like you, we feel these tensions and want to explore ways that we can bring hope to the public square together. And we believe this starts in our own communities. On today's episode, you'll hear from our colleague, Hannah Daniel, the ERLC's Director of Public Policy, about how you can get involved in bringing flourishing to your state and neighborhood. You'll also hear again from our friends Tony Beam, the Senior Director of Church and Community Engagement for North Greenville University, and Lane Wakefield, a professor at Baylor University and candidate for his local school board in Texas. On our last episode, we focused on the importance of being involved in politics at the local and state levels, where more can often be accomplished. Because of the divided nature of our current Congress, progress is hard to make at the national level. So, in 2024, the ERLC produced an extensive state policy agenda for the first time, highlighting areas where you can help make a change in your community. Here's Hannah Daniel explaining why this resource will be helpful to you as you seek to engage closer to where you live.
The state policy agenda was something we did for the first time this year, really in conjunction with our state Baptist partners. This is something where we are not trying to come in and say, this is exactly what your state should do. We think that our state conventions and the folks that are on the ground in each state know the unique situation that's happening in their state. We wanted to come in alongside them, bolster the great work that's being done at the state level, and really spotlight good policies and also spotlight particularly harmful issues that different states are facing within the broader set of issues that we at the ERLC focus on. So that would be life, religious liberty, marriage and family, and human dignity issues. Each state really is so unique. For example, what does pro-life legislation look like in a red state versus a blue state? The things that are attainable look very different in different states, and the battles that are being fought are very different across the board. And so this is something that really is seeking to highlight that diversity. And so we were able to share it with lawmakers, with state partners, with the great examples of legislation, of things that maybe they could do in their own state that is similar to theirs, has considered or has tried to do. So I think it's a really unique resource trying to equip our state Baptist partners. And though the ERLC will always remain focused primarily on the federal level, the continued gridlock and inaction that we are seeing means that so many of these issues that we care about are really playing out at the state level, particularly after the Dobbs decision. So this is really an attempt to come alongside our state conventions and assist them in the good work that they are doing in pushing forward good public policy that promotes life, protects religious liberty, and really pushes forward the things that Southern Baptists care about. were several different policies that we highlighted in the state policy agenda, and a few that I think we're particularly paying attention to. There's a really exciting trend where several states are considering creating their own state-level religious freedom restoration acts. This is something that would really bolster state-level religious freedom protections in many different states. And it's not just the typical red states you might think of that are doing this, but something we've seen across the board. We're also still continuing to see many states move to protect children from harmful gender transition procedures and really deal with the fallout of the sexual revolution that we are continuing to see in so many different capacities. We're seeing some exciting stuff around age verification for things like pornography sites. This is a really interesting kind of new concept that a lot of states have been experimenting with. How can we better protect children online, particularly from coming across things as harmful as pornography? But we're also seeing some really concerning things too. I would say particularly in the life space, we have seen a lot of states move to protect life following Dobbs, which has been very exciting. We've also seen a lot of states move to create really abortion destinations. And this is now even turning towards the November election, where we are seeing a number of states that will hold ballot initiatives on the issue of abortion. And so far, since the Dobbs decision, we have not yet seen a ballot initiative really go in a pro-life direction. And so this is very concerning to see so many states considering constitutional amendments or changes to their laws that the public will be voting on when it comes to, will our state be pro-life or will we become also an abortion destination? What is that going to look like in our individual state? And so particularly if you live in one of these states where abortion truly will be on the ballot, I really encourage you to pay attention to that, to become informed and talk with your neighbors about, why are you pro-life? Why does it matter? Why is this not just something that should be left up to each person to make their own choice? Why does it matter that the preborn are made in the image of God? I think these are really unique opportunities for us to have conversations in our own communities, face to face with our neighbors about why we believe what we believe going into the election.
It's easy for all of us to feel overwhelmed by the political issues around us and what's at stake. How can we get involved if we're not experts and have little experience? Here's Hannah with some practical things Christians can do in this election season at all levels that can make a difference.
There are huge opportunities for believers in our local and state elections and just broadly engaging with local and state politics to make a difference. And it's definitely important to engage at the federal level. You absolutely should call your congressman and your senator, but they are fielding hundreds of calls every day. Whereas if you call your local or your state elected official, they are not fielding hundreds of calls a day. And your voice can even have a bigger impact when you raise your voice and say, I care about something. That really does have an opportunity to make a difference. And I would encourage you to take a look at the state policy agenda and see what is highlighted from your state or similar legislation that might be being considered in your state. Contact your representatives about those things and encourage them to push forward good policy, to not feed into tribalism and the division that we're seeing right now, but to stay focused on helping people. You don't have to be a career politician or trained in public policy to make a difference in your community. And then I also would say, thinking more specifically about the election, don't just pay attention to what's at the top of the ballot, whether that's the president or if you're electing a United States senator or something like that. Your local and state elections matter a lot, and they often can be decided by just a few votes. And oftentimes, we don't even think to look up those candidates before we go in and cast our ballot. So I really would encourage you to look up who's going to be on your ballot in those local races ahead of time. Seek out that kind of information. For these smaller races, you're not going to get a TV ad from them every commercial break like you will for the president, but it still is important to go and look up that information, find out who you want to cast your ballot for, and then be able to make an informed decision. I think that's a great way for us to serve our communities that we are living in, because yes, what happens in DC matters, but I think what happens in our communities matters a lot too, and can often even have a more tangible impact on our day-to-day lives than what happens in DC.
It's one thing to talk about the importance of local and state politics, but it's another to see them in action. Here's Tony Beam with an example of both local and state-level policies that affected real changes in his South Carolina community.
South Carolina passed a heartbeat bill. I'll start with a state issue, because the previous heartbeat bill that we had passed had been ruled unconstitutional by our state Supreme Court. We had a record number of abortions taking place. I'm talking about we got up to the point where we were having 1,200 plus abortions a month. And when we were able to get the heartbeat bill passed, that's a 6-week ban on abortion. We cut abortions down to just over 200 a month from 1,200. Now, that's a tremendous saving of lives. Is it perfect? I mean, no, because I would really like to see all life protected beginning at conception. But in South Carolina, that legislation immediately made a huge difference in protecting the life of the unborn. Now, I can tell you another local bill that's made a tremendous difference. I live in Spartanburg County, and back in November, Spartanburg County had a penny sales tax referendum. They said, look, we want to ask the voter, would you be willing to pay an extra penny if you knew that we were going to raise $475 million over 6 years to fix roads and bridges in South Carolina, which are a big problem. So the voters voted by 10 percentage points to put a penny tax into place. And we had just gotten finished with a 6-year penny tax that allowed us to build a new courthouse and city hall complex in Spartanburg County that didn't cost anything. It was totally paid for by a 1 penny increase in sales tax. And people must have liked it because they went ahead and voted for it again to try to fix the roads and the bridges. Once they had confidence that the money was gonna be used for the thing that the government said it was gonna be used for, then they were willing to give them another shot. So there's just two examples, one financial, one moral and ethical, that changed the climate in the state and changed the climate locally to make human flourishing better. I'm usually not a big proponent of increased taxes, but when a community sees a need like that and are willing to come together and agree that we can do this for 6 years, a limited period of time, and then accomplish something big like we did without taking on debt, I think that's good financial management.
Part of our mission at the ERLC is to help you feel equipped to engage cultural issues with the hope of the gospel. Sometimes that requires us to step outside of our comfort zones and take action. Here's Lane Wakefield to remind us of best practices when it comes to Christian political engagement.
Being informed is the first step. I don't think anybody wants us to tell them what we think before they know that we care. That's a Bob Goff line, if anybody follows him. Says things like, people don't need to hear your opinion, they need a hug. They want you to be love and not be loud. On a practical side, being informed, what I try to do is read different media on both sides to be, again, informed before deciding I've got something to say or think or judge. And then another best practice seems simple, but prayer. I think that's our best option. Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. So I think going to our knees in prayer is our number one option. We all want to critique a candidate or a party or policy or something else during an election year. Have you ever heard the Theodore Roosevelt quote about the man in the arena? It's a longer one. I'll read it because I think it fits. Roosevelt says, it is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error or shortcoming. But who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. And so it's a kind of mantra in my own tiny, you know, local race. But again, pointing out anybody's flaws, the place to start is maybe looking at yourself and what you can do to improve your own life, your own house, your own community. There's an author I like who says that the best way to start helping out the world is to clean your own room. And I think that's part of the case here with political engagement, is there are opportunities to get involved locally. And so you got to think about, if you don't do it, then who is going to do it?
Hearing stories of how others have put their faith into action can help us feel encouraged to do the same in our own communities. It's through consistent, faithful effort that Christians can help bring hope and flourishing to real public policy that affects those around us. Yes, the work can be difficult and demanding, but it also allows us to put the goodness of God on display and opens the door for us to give a reason for the hope we have in Jesus Christ and His eternal kingdom. So let's pray for wisdom in how the Lord might be calling us to get involved. And let's have hearts willing to step out in obedience as we seek opportunities to engage the public square. Thank you for listening to this episode of the ERLC podcast. Join us next time as we discuss expectations for the 2024 presidential race.